Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 104 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
Hello.
Hello.
It's the Pokemon Snap Show.
Who thought we would ever have a podcast episode about this? When we started, I mean, obviously I thought, I have gone on the record multiple times.
Of course.
But who would have thought? Who would
that it actually what happened?
What a world.
What a world.
What a world we live in, guys. I am so glad that I finally get to talk about the thing that I have been doing for like the last like month. Like, you know, it has been very weird playing through this game and not being allowed to talk about any of it. So I'm like stoked. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. Well, so we have all had some time to play the game. So if you have not, obviously, I mean, we're going to talk. Something really that there are spoilers in this game, but there are slight spoilers, maybe potential surprises and things like that that you didn't know were coming and may want to find on your own or whatever. But we are going to talk through all that and a little bit more in the later part of the episode. So we will give you fair warning when we start our Pokemon Snap discussion. But first, we got some Pokemon Go news to talk about.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Because we got May is going to be a good month for Pokemon Go.
Yep, it is. We have a pretty busy week. They are I feel like they have kind of listened to fans, because in the past, you know, if those of you who have been playing the games, you know, who have been playing Pokemon Go for the last few months, like it's just been a nonstop like deluge of events, like a new event every freaking week. It's hard to keep track of it. I mean, and none of the events have really been that great. So for May, we are doing two events, and they're both the Luminous Legends X, Luminous Legends Y. They're both pretty big events. You know, one will introduce Xerneas, the legendary Pokemon Xerneas, as well as a handful of new fairy type Pokemon. Goomy's coming to the game. They're adding the Rainilure, which we've talked about in the past. And, you know, so that starts up tomorrow, May 4th. And then on May 18th, Yveltal will be coming to the game. That's the other legendary Pokemon from Pokemon Y. That's basically it. And they're going to be tying that in with the new Team Go Rocket stuff, because Team Go Rocket is back. Thank God.
Thank goodness. I'm actually kind of excited. I think the legendaries will be cool. To see, you know, just to kind of, you know, see and have in the game. It'll be interesting to see how people react to Swablu. Like, I already saw Calder in the chat, you know, saying, well, it's weak with Swablu. But for a lot of people who, you know, may be latecomers to the game or whatnot, Tim. Swablu, me, yes, me talking about me, this is a great opportunity for me to finally pick up some Swablu. So I'm actually looking forward to this.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. Altaria is one of the, you know, most useful Pokemon in Great League, which Great League is kind of what a lot of players seem to enjoy in terms of the Go Battle League. You know, it's the one that I'm most viable in. like mm-hmm. Ultra League and, you know, Ultra League and Master, you know, League are both, or right, Great Ball League. I forget exactly what the exact branding of it is. But, you know, those are both kind of a little bit more, legendary Pokemon come into play. They're Pokemon that you're not necessarily going to have an opportunity to get. And so, you know, the Great Ball League is a lot more, anyone can participate in it. It's, you know, the CP cap's a lot lower, and Altaria is one of the really useful Pokemon in that. And mm-hmm. so this actually has a chance to kind of shake up the metagame a bit, because, you know, we're getting an Altaria, Altaria. We're getting that Pokemon probably with a new move of some kind, which hopefully will be meta useful. The big speculation is going to be Feather Dance. So that could shake things up. And also, at the very least, it gives people a chance to get a very solid Pokemon in competitive play. Now I'm a little bit disappointed about Swablu too. I have like two or three Altaria, and, you know, I think I have two or three
Altaria. Every time I catch a Swablu and I go, oh great, I need 298 more candies to evolve this thing.
Jim, you know, when you get a when you catch a Swablu and you throw it a Pineapp Berry, it gives you six candies.
Yeah, instead of three. I do that too.
And so therefore it takes you half as many catches. And when you've been playing the game on a daily basis, you know, you tend to encounter common Pokemon a lot. And Swablu's never been a uncommon. I'm seeing in the comments that it's getting Moonblast. I didn't see when that had gotten announced. To be 100% honest, I was like, you know, up to my neck in Pokemon Snap coverage last week. So I knew it was Swablu because it got leaked, but I didn't see the exclusive moon. So it's Moonblast. So, okay, well, that's a, you know, fairy type move. Cool. Whatever.
I mean, mainly I'm just excited for Swablu because obviously if you played Pokemon Snap recently, there's plenty of Swablu. And I have fallen in love, like, photographing that one Pokemon. I don't know, like, what, like, Altaria, which we'll talk about in the later section of this episode, but I have become a professional Altaria photographer, and you can request my services on Twitter. Just get into those DMs, and I will send you pictures of Altaria, so you're welcome.
Yeah, and the other thing is we are getting Mega Altaria, so, you know, that will change its typing to a fairy type, which means that, you know, Mega Altaria with that Moonblast, you know, that's a very solid combo if you're into the Mega Evolutions. Like I said, pretty good month. I think they finally struck a balance. That makes me happy.
Mm. Excellent.
Yeah, so that's Pokemon Go
for the moment. Pokemon Go. Like I said, I'm actually excited for May. Like I said, I've been out of it for a bit. You know, I come and go or whatever, but there hasn't really been anything that's been like super exciting in Go. And so this feels a bit more exciting than it has been. So
correct.
So I'm excited for that. One more last bit of Pokemon news before we go jump into Pokemon Snap is we heard last week the passing of the Spanish voice actress for Jessie passed away.
Yes. So unfortunately, Diana Perez, who is kind of a icon in voice acting in the Spanish dub community in Mexico. Unfortunately, she passed away and she was in her 50s. The news was shared by another prominent voice actor in the community. And so fans are just kind of taking time to pay tribute to Perez. I mean, she was the original actress of Jessie in the Spanish dub. She's continued to do that job. So we haven't got any news on any recasting or anything like that in terms of dubbing. But just kind of a sad kind of part of the animated community being lost. She also voiced the voice of Luffy in the One Piece Spanish dub and several other well-known roles. So definitely thinking of her and her loved ones during this time.
For sure. All right. We'll jump right into our first impressions for Pokemon Snap, and then we will we'll get into some of the nitty gritty of it. So, Christian, we kind of heard some of your first impressions a little bit last week, so we'll let you go last now that you can talk a bit more about it. But Megan, why don't you go first?
Well, as the person here who was convinced that this was going to happen and is arguably the greatest champion of Pokemon Snap in this world, high status there. It is so good. I mean, honestly, I had, expectations for the game and a lot of wishes for what I wanted to see. The puzzles of this game, in order to get, Pokemon to do what you need them to do in order to get 3 or 4 star actions, to get them to do interactions with other Pokemon, it is stupidly more complex and innovative than it was obviously in the first game. I mean, it's so difficult to even compare the two games at this point because of the generational gap between the N64 and the Switch, just what you can do with it. I mean, ignoring the gorgeous graphics and the just stunning look of the game, just the interactions that you're able to do with all of the different, methods of trying to entice a Pokemon into getting pictures. I mean, like, I just remember when I saw Typhlosion, basically, when we got to that level in the volcano, and it was myself and it was my fiance, a couple of our friends. We finally were able to see each other after all getting fully vaccinated. It was the first time we've seen each other in like a long time. And I was like, hey, I have Pokemon Snap. Like, let's just do this. And we all just started screaming because we were so excited. So I love this game. It's definitely worthy of everything that you could expect of Pokemon Snap being back. And I hope they can do some DLC. I really just want more of this game. I just want so much more of it.
Yeah, I think the thing that I get excited about for, like, well, I agree. This game was a lot harder than I expected it to be. But like, once you figure it out, you definitely, you get the feel for it, which is nice. I think they picked like a lot of the Pokemon really well, like as far as like just, where they are, what you need to do for certain ones and kind of the mix and all that. Like, that is one of like the kind of the nice delights. Like, I know, there was, right before the game came out, I was like, here are all the Pokemon that are in the game. And obviously, not going to lie, glad to see my boy Geodude was included. So that was nice. But it's actually because the thing I was actually just going to bring up that Crow brought up in chat is, I don't know if it's a $60 game.
How can you say that? Like, honest to God, like, people are this. This game took me 35 hours just to get all 214 Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't put in that amount of time into any game since literally the main series Pokemon game. Like, yeah. I think people are, it takes you 20 hours just to beat, get to the credits. Compared to, I remember when people are like, oh, yeah, Final Fantasy VII upgrade. It's the exact same game as the original Final Fantasy VII, but with nicer graphics. And it's like, it's a 15-hour freaking game. And no one had any bitching about the fact that you spent $60 on that game.
Oh, no, I know that game is also not that.
No,
I mean, that was a game of the freaking year.
You're not going to find me defending that one either.
We have Returnal, which is getting rave reviews, and that apparently takes 20 hours to beat. It is a really weird question that, especially in a game, in an age where, the amount of time that it takes to beat a game is going down. Apparently spending, like, I'm nowhere close to being 100% complete with this game. And, I've been playing this game for 3 freaking weeks. Like, if you don't want to pay $60 for this game, then go ahead. Pay $60 for any freaking game, to get a lot more value for this game than you are any, just about any other game that's out right now.
All right, we have gotten Christian triggered. I mean,
it's a frustrating. It's really frustrating. I've seen like people like try to suck it. It's like, you know, try to like, oh, I don't know if it's worth $60 to sit down and play a game about taking photos of Pokemon. Like, I don't know if it's $60 to go and spend $60 on shooting a bunch of digital people up on the same six maps over and over again. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a big freaking waste of money.
It definitely will come down to your preference in game. Obviously, if you like Pokemon Snap, this is an easy $60 to spend. But if you have any kind of interest in just kind of more easy, relaxing games, then this is definitely something worth. I can understand, you know, the questions of video games coming in, especially now that we have the new generation of consoles coming forward and video game prices are getting more expensive. Video games are getting longer, whether that's for a good or bad reason. This isn't the podcast to talk about it. But I will say that Pokemon Snap for me is definitely worth $60. And the fact that I thought I was getting finished with the game and I was getting kind of upset because I was enjoying it so much. And then I finally broke and I looked up how many Pokemon there were in the game. Cause I was like, I have to be done. Like I've seen so many Pokemon. There's so many puzzles. I mean, I still haven't gotten a lot of 3 and 4 star, you know, behaviors from them. And I looked it up and I realized I was not even halfway finished getting the amount of Pokemon, let alone fulfilling all the requests, which took me a while to discover that those were even a thing to do. So this game definitely has a surprising amount of breadth. Now, if it's not your cup of tea of how to kind of complete these objectives, then, you know, maybe it's not worth $60. Maybe you wait, you get it on digital in a while. Maybe you find it secondhand somewhere. But if you are a definite Pokemon fan, and you are, I mean, you're listening to this podcast, so I can only assume that you have an affinity. I think it is worth $60, you know, depending on the way that I treat video games and treat them as an investment. So, I think it's that, but I can definitely understand people who aren't going to be willing to pay that kind of price.
I think the biggest thing here is, and I don't, anyone getting into Pokemon Snap or thinking that it's going to be anything but, I mean, like this is a puzzle game. And I think traditionally puzzle games have usually, you know, not been as big, right? This is a long game. And if you're going to be a completionist, like there's definitely more for you there. I think completionists are always going to be a smaller section of, you know, people who just like play games, right? Like there may be people who just play this game through and then think, oh, all right, well, now what?
Right. Well, but at the same time, I mean, let's be clear here. Like we're talking about a Pokemon Snap game. This is a franchise in which the literal catchphrase of the entire franchise is "Gotta catch them all." I'm not 100% certain. Like I mean, listen, if I wanted to go and play through Pokemon Sword and Shield, and the game ended when I went and beat up, you know, the two rich boys with the weirdo hair, you know, and if I wanted to like speed run it, yeah, I could do that in like 15 hours.
Yeah.
Is that worth $60? I don't know. Because, you know, I have a good team of Pokemon. I went and crushed a bunch of pretty easy gym battles. I guess there's nothing else for me to do but to complete the story.
Well, no, but there are other things you can do in the mainline game that don't necessarily involve catching them all, right? Like if you want to build a, you know, the best team, there are things, you know, there are grind aspects of that to do or whatnot. And like I am not a completionist. I still do not have a full like Pokemon Dex in Sword and Shield or whatever. But like at the same time, that doesn't necessarily take away from my enjoyment of doing some of the other aspects of the game. And so for me with Pokemon Snap, and I'm actually surprised that I'm probably the one who's not down on it, but I'm a little with what we've gotten, you know, just as you know, as far as games and whatever, like I think like Megan said before, the big question is like will we get DLC? Because I don't, outside of like my kid wanting to play to play it more, like I will definitely pick it up from time to time. But like it definitely could have been something that I waited a month, you know, for, or, you know, get it for $10, you know, 10, 20 bucks less or whatever. And, you know, and not feel like I'm missing too much. But,
realistically though, Jim, just as one point here, in 4 years, this game is still going to be worth $60. You're still going to be spending $60 to, you know, it's like the reality is you can pay $60 now
or you can pay
$60 in 4 years. I mean, I'm pretty sure like Breath of the Wild is still
full. Yeah. I mean, like I'll say this. I mean, Pokemon Snap is a game for people that want to play Pokemon Snap. It's not trying to pretend it's something else. It's not trying to market itself as anything other than a game where you take relaxing pictures, you do puzzles. Yep. I mean, it's not trying to, you know, disguise itself as something to trick people into saying you're going to pay $60 for a game that's like Breath of the Wild and then you get it. And it's absolutely not that. So it's just going to come down to you whether or not you want to spend that money. Pokemon isn't going to devalue its you know, notoriety, its reputation as a mainline kind of franchise Pokemon game. I mean, it's Pokemon, it's Nintendo, it's the Switch, it's a new game, it's a big title. So it's not going to devalue itself just for people who, you know, want to pay $40 for it. It's going to continue to say, you know, we worked hard on this game, Bandai did, Pokemon did. So they're gonna charge that amount of money, and it's not pretending to be something else that it's not. It makes sense to me that it's $60. I had no qualms with paying $60 for it. I knew what I was getting into, and I was pleasantly surprised by everything that was expansive with it. But if you're not somebody who, you know, wants to focus in on a specific niche type of gameplay, then it's just not probably going to be worth it for you at this price point. And you're going to have to kind of look elsewhere to get that game for a lower price, because it's going to be $60 for a long time.
I always, you know, I look at these sort of, you know, questions about, you know, am I going to get my money's worth out of, you know, kind of like, you know, value, like my day job is in finance. And so, you know, I consider this by how many hours I put into a game. You know, I take a look at a game like, you know, Last of Us 2, no replay value there. I played that game. It was a
zero.
Yeah. I have no desire to ever pick up that game again. And a lot of games like that, I you know, so I think it is weird that, you know, we live in an age where some of the best games have zero replay value. It is a one and done experience. And no one complains that that is a $60, you know, like, you know, I you know, Last of Us 2, I paid $60 for like a 15 hour movie with some interactive elements to it.
But I think that's always going to come down to like it's the narrative element of it, right? Like and that's where we're starting to see the chasm, I think, grow a bit in video games, where there are video games intended to tell a story as a narrative device, you know, like a interactive movie of sorts. Mm-hmm. And then there are games that are, you know, kind of, you know, they're a bit on the shorter side and just meant for kind of that, you know, maybe a party aspect or a puzzle aspect or, you know, a bit more or in one group. And then you have like your battle royale games, right? Which are just like jump in, jump out and whatever. But it's funny because I think GG Phoenix mentioned like GTA 5, that game still $60. That game came out like 10 years ago, it feels like.
And and it's like, you know, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon is still $55, and you know, no one talks about that game. Like like Pokemon Snap is going to be a game, like, you know, there was a lot of excitement around that game, you know, around Pokemon Snap. I saw a lot of people who are not usually Pokemon people pick up the game and play the game. I think that, you know, people are going to get a lot of enjoyment out of it. I like I said, that's what I think is weird about this. Like, I think it's the next Animal Crossing.
I completely agree.
You know,
using that as I think that's a great comparison. I think Animal Crossing has more tangibles than Snap does, mainly because of the interactivity and multiplayer aspect of it, which to me, again, is like a very big thing that I think this one is missing. But there is a whole part, like there is a whole ton of appeal in Animal Crossing being able to show off your island and let people, you know, come to your island, go visit islands, get special items and things like that. That is all inherent in either DLC or patches and online connectability. And that's one of the biggest things I think this game misses.
I will agree with you. I do think that the social aspects of it, because, you know, let's not pretend like there's no social, aspects of this game. There's a lot more, you know, quite frankly, I think that, you know, Pokemon Snaps, you know, what, you know, that you have a little page that everyone can go and visit and stuff like that. I mean, that's a lot better than what you see in the main series Pokemon games. And like 90% of Nintendo
still low bar.
Very like, low bar. Let's be clear. Like, it could be a lot better. Like, a lot better. Like, I do not like the fact that, like, I can't, like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure I'm friends with both of you on Nintendo Switch. I don't like the fact that I can't look at your guys's pages automatically. Like, that is silly. You know, like, there are things that could definitely be improved upon here. But, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, I do not understand. And, like, you know, like I said, I guess this is just me and how I look at games from a how much time do I put into this game that I can still enjoy it? And, you know, that ultimately that's what it comes down to. You're going to end up if you are the sort of person who likes playing these sort of games, I guess that's the caveat. Okay. If you enjoy the puzzle aspect, if you enjoy the exploration aspect of it, like, this isn't an open world game, but it definitely has that same element of exploration that you find in those open world games. And I think that's, like, you know, I think it's just masked a little bit because you're going through the same, like, few routes over and over again. But there is still stuff that I'm finding. And like I said, I played through this game so I could write all the freaking articles about how to do this and how to do that and how to do this other thing.
And there are plenty. Go find Christian's author page on comicbook.com. If you have questions about Pokemon Snap, that is the one place to go to. He has written a ton about it.
And, you know, that's the thing. It's just like, you know, there is just, you know, that is what surprised me about the game. And that's why I don't understand, like, is this a $60 game? It's because, like, there's still, like, you know, like I said, I've probably put in 40 hours of this game and I have tried to find every darn thing. And there was still a route that I only found this weekend that no one, like, literally none of, like, the, you know, people who write up articles, you know, all the guide sites, none of them had anything on this route, you know, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, that's the thing. There's still you will find something new every time you go through a route. And that is really cool. Like, you don't see that in games anymore. Like, that is what, like, you know, that's why I'm just kind of like, I don't know what people want from this game. It's a game about taking photos of Pokemon, and I'm finding new stuff, like, literally every run I do. I guess I'm a little bit biased because, you know, like, in terms of, like, you were talking about, like, the multiplayer aspect and stuff like that. I mean, I guess maybe for me, like, you know, I had a lot of fun, like, trying to maintain my spot on the rankings as more and more players came into the game and finished up the game and stuff like that. Like, I had a lot of fun trying to, like, increase my overall rank and try to be, like, you know, one of the top people in the world, which I was for most of the weekend.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, hold on. We got to take a quick 60-second break to pay for the show, and then we will come back and talk more of the nitty-gritty. So here is your spoiler warning. Turn back now or come back later if you don't want some Pokemon Snap stuff spoiled for you. We'll be back in 60.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Very important question. Very important question. Mm-hmm. Megan.
Yes.
Have you printed out any photos?
Okay. So I have I had the Instax printer that, like,
basically
is the Pikachu printer that they're coming out with. I am not technologically savvy, and the problem is we changed our Wi-Fi name recently. The printer worked with our old Wi-Fi name. My fiance changed it without telling me, and I went to go print some photos. Wasn't connecting. I still can't get it to connect. So apparently, like, when we upgraded our router, something went wrong with the SIM card. So I have a SIM card being shipped to me currently to reattach to the printer so it will be able to print pictures from my Switch.
That's a lot of dedication. So you can take, you know, print off photos of Pokemon.
I literally just got the email from Instax saying that my SIM card has shipped and it will be here on Wednesday. So,
nice.
It's coming. Yeah, I like called customer service. I was like, I don't think you understand. I have Pokemon Snap right now. But yeah. So also I saw that on Amazon they were doing pre-orders for the Instax Pikachu version, and I did order another one. So I have a problem.
I was surprised. I was kind of surprised how many people I know actually have these printers. Like after the, you know, article came out about the you know, they're making these printers, like I had three or four people like tell me, like three or four people like I know in real life, like, oh yeah, I have one of these printers. I was like, really?
Yeah, like, they're super handy. Like, I got them to, like, print off a bunch of photos on my phone from vacations for my grandparents. Because they were like, oh, we want to keep pictures from you going to places. And I was like, I don't know how to do this. And I was too cheap to go to Walgreens. And I found this printer. And I was like, yep. So that's what I did.
I had no idea. I had no idea they were a thing until the Pikachu one came out.
Wow.
And, like, now I'm like, how did I live without, like, this would have been perfect on a recent trip I just took to go visit family to just like take some photos and just print them out because you know, like, my grandmother is just absolutely technologically averse, so much so I tried to get her like one of those frames that you can just like, it's just all she has to do is literally like just keep it in her house and connect in her, like the woman doesn't even have Wi-Fi, so like I can't even do that.
That's so, my grandparents I bought them one of those picture frames, refused to use it, so I got the printer.
Yeah, so. I was like, oh, grandma, I'll get you an Amazon, you know, Echo Show or whatever, and we can, you know, do whatever. And she's like, nope, don't want it. And I'm like, oh, God, okay. So I just, you know, I print photos out and we send them out snail mail, but that would have been perfect to have while we were there. Anyway, total tangent. Okay, so let's talk about routes.
Yeah, let me ask, are we going to go and stick to the script and focus on Florio, or are we just going to go and talk, you know, go wildly off script? I just want to have an idea before I know what I need to pull up in my notes about this game.
I was going to just kind of see where it took us. I was going to use your notes as a guide, but let's just kind of talk a little generally. And then, you know, if we want to, because I figure we're going to be talking about, we'll be talking about Snap over the next couple of episodes as more things come out. But I think, you know, let's try and hit a bunch now, you know, kind of as wide as we can. And then as other things come up, you know, for tips and tricks, we'll do maybe like, you know, a small segment on your like Pokemon Snap tip of the week kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
As we go forward. Let's talk about some of the routes. What are your thoughts? I'll say for me, I mean, look, the diversity in kind of like what you get here is top notch, right? You got a lot in the original, and I just love that they basically dialed it up. And I love the night and day feature.
Oh yeah.
That to me is really like, what a way to instantly double what you have basically using the same area.
And I like that the, you know, the night and day, like the Pokemon that appeared there were totally different. Like that's like what impressed me was, you know, they really felt like totally different courses. It's like, yeah, physically they were the same, but even on like, you know, the snow fields, you know, when you find the secret route that is, you know, obscured by snow, which Jim, you probably haven't found yet because you probably only did that route once before playing the game down forever. But when you find that secret route, like when you do it during the day, like it's, you know, all covered in snow and ice and you can't see anything. And there's that entire aspect to it. But when you do it at night, you know, you can actually see like, oh, this is the layout. Here's some of the Pokemon that are in. Oh, here is another secret sub route, which let me tell you, that took me way too long to figure out. Way too freaking long to get to that stupid ice cavern at the end. Like, oh my God. Like, you know, like my family, when I was like trying to figure that one out, they were like so invested, like, you know, in, like us trying to like figure out this freaking route. I'm like, cause I was like pointing to like, you know, the ocean. I'm like, I know we're going to end up there. I have no idea how to freaking get there. And man, that was a cool puzzle. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, you know, like I do feel kind of bad that like in the, cause I'm, you know, making money off of this. in the era of, you know, internet spoilers, you know, cause there's so much discovery. I had so much fun like trying to figure this stuff out. Like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I found out so late in the game, like how to find like Jolteon in new Pokemon Snap. Like, I knew it was in there. Like, they wouldn't have left one Eeveelution in there. So I even knew which route it was. It was, you know, I knew it was the cave. I could not figure out where that stupid Pokemon was and how to get to it.
Like, I only found two Eevees.
Oh, it's man, really, you are in for a trip.
No, I'm really upset, y'all. I cannot find Vaporeon. I've only found Sylveon and Eevee.
So Vaporeon,
I am furious.
Vaporeon appears. It's in the reef course in the evening. So you have to make it to the credits in order to unlock that course. But you see Vaporeon like pretty quickly once you get to the reef.
It's killing me, y'all. It's killing me. I know she's there. I can feel her presence and I cannot find her.
In terms of my favorite routes, I think that my favorite of the routes, honestly, was probably the cave. At first, like, you know, during my first run of that, I was not like super like thrilled about it. But the more that I like dug into it and like kept just finding stuff, like, you know, that was really cool. Like trying to unlock everything that there was to it. That, like, you know, you find the hidden forest. That was pretty cool. That was pretty freaking cool. So I really like that one. I spent way too much time in the jungle trying to figure out the routes in the jungle, especially at night. And there's still stuff that I'm still like, I know what I need to do, but I just can't quite pull it off. That was, the jungle's probably my other favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, The one thing, and I think it was brought up in the chat a little bit, I'm not trying to be like super negative on this. It's just, having so much fun with the different landscapes. I almost wished that they were, at least one or two of the routes had a bit more of like a theme to them, right? Like, I would have loved like a spooky track, right? Okay. Or one that was, just a bit more grouped, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, and again, like, I know, like, this is something that you could easily do, not easily do, because there's a ton of development work and that stuff is not easy. That's a lot of work. But like, I would love that for like DLC, right? Like, you know, like around like holidays or whatever, like you can get, you know, like, you know, for the fall or in October, you get, a ghost related track, or even if they reskin one of the other, like the existing tracks, and just like decorate it a little bit differently. I think that could be fun.
The one thing I get it, because, you know, the entire gist of this is like, this is untouched natural splendor. So like, you know, there wasn't a room for like a power plant like there was in the original game. I would have liked to see that. Like, you know, there wasn't really a good spot to see a lot of Pokemon. Like, you know, they managed to get Trubbish in there, which I appreciated. But you couldn't see Pokemon like Grimer or like, you know, a lot of electric type Pokemon that aren't Pikachu or Jolteon or Emolga. You know, there were definitely, like, you know, any Pokemon with the, you know, they, are tied to urban areas. They just couldn't really squeeze in. And that's fine. But you know, like, yeah, I can get that. Like, yeah, I would have loved to see like a spooky area. I was really disappointed when the, you know, what we thought was going to be a haunted forest, turned out to be time travel forest. And I like that. I like that area. Like, you know, and that's another area where it's like, you know, I found like the second route on, or actually I didn't, for the longest time, I didn't think there were any alternate routes. And then I eventually figured out how to start like unlocking the winter route. I was like, holy smoke. So that's where those missing Pokemon are.
Yeah. Still haven't gotten that. Like, that's like, just like you talking about it, I'm just thinking through that place. And I'm like, all right, how do I do it? Oh my God. Like, this is why the game is worth $60 for me. argument. But yeah, I'll say that. I mean, I kept waiting for there to be like a cemetery thing, even though there was supposed to be like untouched Blender. I was like, I can have like an animal graveyard, and then I was like, that's really dark. And then I was also kind of disappointed because I kind of wanted there to be like, you enter Gengar's mouth to hell and you go see all the devil Pokemon. But I think my favorite route would have to be the kind of beach, because I'm a sucker for Mario Kart. But yeah, the beach was just so cool. I just loved trying to get Alolan Raichu to do what I wanted him to do. So
Have you gotten to the point where you can? So what I really like about that are the stupid crab brawler that are running around there. At first, I thought those things were just like dumb, superfluous. Like, okay, they're just put, because it's literally, you know, when I did my preview of this, that's literally the first Pokemon that they showed in this game.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, and they're all over the place. And so, and at first, they're just kind of like doing their own thing. They're like shadow boxing each other. But eventually, you can like go and get one to go and attack an Executor, and the Executor like gets up and like is all ticked off at it and starts chasing it around the beach. And like, there's, that's cracked me up. And then there's the sandy gas at the beach, where eventually, if you can lure a crab brawler over to the one of the sandy gas that's right by those like piles of sand, the sandy gas will mentally take over the crab brawler, and then that starts chucking sand into the sandy gas and turns it into a super-sized sandy gas. Like, absolutely amazing. Like, that's the thing. Like, I was just cracking up, and they give you little hints of that and those like research requests.
Yeah. I only just noticed the research stuff. So me and my dumb brain was just like, oh, I guess I'm like kind of getting done. And then I realized you're supposed to like use these fluff fruits and stuff to lead the Pokemon places. And I was like, oh my God, I have not done anything. There's so many places that I'm supposed to like leave a crumb trail for Pokemon to go do something. And so now I'm trying to like really get my aim down for those fluff fruits, because I'm not great at it.
Go ahead, Jim.
Oh no, go ahead. I was just gonna say I wanted to talk to get a little bit back onto your notes for a little, because I want to, with the time that we've got left, let's give some tips for the Floreo Nature Park. I think one of the biggest questions obviously is trying to find Shaymin. And so, Christian, you want to explain how to find that one? And
so Shaymin's actually relatively easy to find in the game. The key is look by crystal bloom flowers. It appears both during the day and it appears during the day. The first time you see Shaymin, you spot Shaymin twice. The first is over by the lake with the Bidoofs. And on the left hand side by the crystal bloom flower, I think once you reach research level 2, you see it sleeping. And so you can chuck a fluff fruit at it and wake it up, and you can get some good reactions there. The other time is at the very end. It's in the thing of flowers, and it's hidden by one of the crystal flutes, where it's just kind of like hidden in plain view. So it's not super hard to find. But the big thing is, if you really want to get some like really good photo ops, Pichu, Grookey, and eventually Scorbunny will be shown like running throughout the area. And if you take pictures of those three Pokemon every time that they like pop up, and like, you know, you have to take photos of them every time that you see them, basically. And I think each of them appear, I forget if it's two or three times, but you know, by doing that, you kind of like lead them down to the path at the very end. And if you get all four of the Pokemon together at the end, you get some really cool, because like the four of them are all like laughing and celebrating, and Score Bunny and Pichu and Grookey are both wearing the flower crowns that you see in the on in the game art. So, you know, that's the other big thing. So that is pretty cool. The other ones that I had kind of issues finding, you know, because so you see Score Bunny running around the map at night at first, and then eventually during the day. And they mentions like, oh yeah, you know, look at these fluff fruit. Why are they scorched? And you think, oh, it's related to Score Bunny, right? That's mm-hmm. kind of like the implication there. No, that's actually tied to Emolga. And so you can, you know, if you chuck a fruit there, and you have to have like a little bit good aim. Like when you see that burnt pile of fruit kind of off in the distance, if you manage to chuck a fruit early enough and hit that pile, an Emolga will come down and, you know, will scorch it with the lightning. And you can get both your 3-star, if it's on the ground, that's how you get the 3-star photo. And the 4-star is actually zapping it. Now, what's really tricky about it is that you can't really make a lot of noise. Like you can't do a lot of stuff if you want to get that really good 4-star photo, like get a diamond ranking. You know, but that's how you get the Emolga. That one took me forever to figure out. Nice. I'm trying to think. Go ahead, please.
Well, we'd say we can go through some of the other like tougher, you know, interactions to pop, like that, the Pidgeot eating the Magikarp is, that one, one horrifying. Two, tougher than I thought it was going to be to get that one to happen.
Yeah, because you need to hit with the fluff fruit like multiple times to get it up into the tree. And then you need to hit the Magikarp with, I believe, an Illumina Orb in order to get the hop to catch the Pidgeot's notice. That one's tricky. There's the Wurmple Talo showdown. That's another one that's pretty hard because those Talo are so freaking skittish. Mm-hmm. You know, that one's like kind of tough to do. Let's see here. You know, there's finding the flying ducklet. That's another one that can be hard to get like your hands on. That's, you know, another 4-star opportunity. There's just like a lot of like cool, like little like photo moments. And like, you know, I really like that map because that map, I feel like, really kind of sets the tone for like, you can't just, you know, I for Pokemon Snap, it was always like, and, you know, new Pokemon Snap, same way. It's like, okay, you chuck an apple at it. Okay, if the apple doesn't work, then you throw an aluminum orb at it. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that doesn't work, maybe the melody, maybe the scan feature. But, you know, that kind of set up, like, you know, you need to do more than just these, like, single interactions. There's some stuff that you have to go through a lot of steps if you really want to get the thing that you want, you know, to get that 4-star photo. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really liked about the game, is that those four star photos are not necessarily,
you gotta work for them.
Yeah, you gotta work for them. Like, and they're not tied to like quality, like the picture quality is not what's tied to. Like, you know, it's, you know,
no, all it's about definitely tied to puzzle.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and Christian, have you noticed, because I noticed Night Fighters mention it in the chat, but like a correlation to higher level to different behaviors on maps.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For sure. So not only do new Pokemon appear every time you level up a map, but, you know, the Pokemon behaviors, you know, get better, for lack of a better term. Like Score Bunny will, you will only get poor quality photos of Score Bunny the first few times you do that map until you sufficiently level it up. And then Score Bunny will be a lot more comfortable. If you want a good 4-star photo of Score Bunny at night at the very end, I think once you reach level 2 on the Nature Park map, towards the very end, Score Bunny and I believe Pichu can both be found sleeping in a Torterra. At the very end. And so if you wake up Score Bunny, he'll be kind of like doing this like lounging scene. So you can get, and you can get really close up to it. And you can get a good 4-star photo. If you time it right. Because that's another one, like not all the 4-star stuff, is necessarily tied to a specific behavior, because like, I know that, you can get like some good, like good photos of Score Bunny like kicking, like doing the fire kicks and stuff like that. Also, Score Bunny makes a cameo appearance in the sands, the sweltering sands.
Yes.
And I know there, I'm like convinced that there's more to it than just he like pops up near near the beginning. Like, I'm sure he does something more. I just haven't figured it out yet.
I've seen him over by the Onyx, and I've been trying to figure out, because he like, I've seen him like kick an Onyx, and Onyx gets mad, and Onyx, and Onyx will go running after him, and then Score Bunny, like, I think he dips into the final like pit that you never really see in your car. Score Bunny is like, yeet, and he goes in there. So I've seen that. I was like, Score Bunny, that's a Score Bunny, that's a terrible decision. Onyx is like 20 times your size. He is going to wreck. And Score Bunny's like, nah, fam, I got this.
That's great. See, I haven't found that yet.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. But yeah, we'll talk more. The other big thing is, you know, so the Vivillon, I can never say that right. I think it's Vivillon. The butterfly Pokemon that are all spread out. The four star ones there are tied to what pattern you find. It's all based on what pattern that is what the star levels are tied to. The garden pattern, which is pretty rare, when you go into the flower area, because there's all this stuff going on in the flowers. If you turn around really quick, you'll see one of the garden patterns, and that one is one of the rare ones. So I think that's enough. We'll go and do some more of these routes. Next week, but you
also,
know,
I will say, number one tip, and this took me a while to figure out, and it's such a dumb thing, but you just like, you don't think of it because you're on a track system for this game. Turn around, go through the entire route a couple times completely facing backwards, because you're going to get a lot of really interesting things, and you're going to kind of be able to figure things out. And then as you start, you know, going back and forth, you know, doing some objectives while facing forward and then turning around, you're going to see some different behaviors that you're going to be able to get pictures of. It took me a stupid. I was trying to get a picture of one of the Sith trees in the forest. And I was like, I can't get a good picture of this stupid thing. And I was like, wait, I could turn around. And then, and then I was able to get some completely new behaviors out of the Pokemon in the tree. And I was like, do that.
It took me, that's really great advice for Mew. Turning around is critical to finding Mew. And there's a reason it took me until last Friday, to find freaking Mew. I was struggling trying to find Mew, and we'll talk more about that. We won't spoil it on this one, but that was a trip.
Yep. All right. Well, chat, let us know if you've been playing, what Pokemon experiences you have found to be your favorites. Otherwise, you can hit us up at Pokemon Pod CB. Send us some photos. We want to see some photos. But before we go, this is a big Pokemon fact of the week.
Yeah,
we're a milestone for us.
We are finally to the end of the original 150. Now, obviously, next episode we'll do Mew, which will be our first mythical Pokemon. Well, no, I think we've done mythical Pokemon before. We decide that we're going to take a trip along the Pokedex. But we're talking about Mewtwo. Now, Mewtwo kind of suffers from that late Pokedex problem until you get to its mega evolutions, and then you find out some really strange stuff about just how powerful. So, you know, Mega Mewtwo, the most powerful, you know, Pokemon in existence when it gets a mega evolution form, it's even stronger. Mega Mewtwo X can run a 100-meter dash in 2 seconds.
That's fast.
I mean, you can't even see that.
Yeah.
That's so freaking fast. That's like you're going faster than Goku.
That's basically teleporting.
Meanwhile, Mega Mewtwo Y, it's psychic power. Like, you know, like this is only kind of like a little lame only because we've seen normal Mewtwo do the star stuff like in the anime. But Mega Mewtwo Y can apparently like shatter skyscrapers with a thought. And it's like, what? Can't like normal Mewtwo do that? Like that was kind of like my thought. I was like, oh, I guess Mewtwo's, these Pokemon aren't super powerful.
Mewtwo's mega evolutions are a little on the extra side, but I mean, they all are, right? Like, you know, it's, Mewtwo in particular though is just like,
I always made me laugh that like Mega Mewtwo X was what really cracked me up, because it's just like, you know, it's kind of like, it reminded me of like Charizard X and Charizard Y. Like there's the one where it's like, look at I think it's Charizard X where it's like, look, he's like all black, he's shooting out blue flame, he's super awesome and cool. And then there's the other one where it's like, oh, look, he's got like a couple extra spikes.
He looks more like like a dragon. Like
that's, you know, like, oh, that's cool. It's like a, it's like an ancient Charizard. And yeah, it's like, you know, Mega Mewtwo X is like the same thing. It's like, oh, look, like Mewtwo got abs. Good for him. He didn't actually get abs. He got like, he does get abs, but they're abs on like his like forearms and his like, you know, thighs. Which, you know, I guess that makes sense for Mewtwo. Anyways.
That's what we got for us today. So Mewtwo, you know, look, Mewtwo's a tough one, right? Because like, what can you say about Mewtwo that hasn't already been said in like a million other things? But you know, he's everyone's favorite man-made Pokemon.
Yep.
Of course. Yep.
Take that, Porygon.
Yeah, for real.
All right. I do want to read a review really quick, because someone left us one over the last couple of days, just one. If you want to support the show, great way to support the show. Go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on air. This one's from Ashton Barface. Pretty good. Good, but gross at the end of the time. Overall, really good. But I guess I'm 9 years old. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate Ashton. That.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for all of us here today. If you want to get in touch with us, make sure you're following the show on Twitter at PokemonPodCB. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at MeganPetersCB.
And I'm at CHofferCBus.
Until then, folks, take all of the Pokemon Snap pictures. Let's see them. We want to see them.
Yep.
We'll catch you next week.